The following takes place between 6 a.m. and 7 a.m.
America has been victimized again.
I'm Howard Gordon, executive producer and writer of this first episode.
My name is Kiefer Sutherland, and I play Jack Bauer.
People have been killed thus far, and while no one is claiming responsibility...
And Kiefer, you have a really great voice. I have to tell you that. Well, I'll start because this was our sixth season, and the great challenge here was finding Jack Bauer's... first of all, getting him back from China was the trick. I think everyone asked you.
I heard that all summer.
And real time prevented us from starting in China, so we had to contrive a reason for Jack Bauer to be back.
Defense against attack.
Hey! Stop!
A small side thing. I took two of my friends, even though I wasn't in this scene, to when John was shooting it. And their kids. And I was the coolest guy on the planet for what's going to happen in a minute.
Right.
I have as much right to be on the bus as you!
As we're about to see, this was a very difficult choice for us to start a story in the middle, which goes back to what we said about getting Jack Bauer back into town. We find ourselves, unlike any other season, in a story that has actually started 3 weeks ago.
That's when the kids thought I was cool.
Our country is under siege. You're the national security advisor, Karen.
And again, in that sentence, our country is under siege tells us what the whole year is about. And as we will find out later in the episode, what is worth sacrificing Jack Bauer to stop.
Plan of yours justifies locking up every American who prays.
Obviously, this stuff is also torn from the headlines. It was a very present, very real, and kind of very raw premise, and we were concerned that it might be too real and too dystopic a topic for the audience. That was one of our real fears, but we felt we'd earned it after 6 years.
We've got to do something about this now.
And locking up more Muslims will not make them safer.
No, Karen. But it will make them feel safer.
What about the cost of the civil...
It was great. You know, the thinking, too, behind seeing Wayne Palmer. In the universe of 24, we have David Palmer, who is the most noble of people and presidents, and we've had Charles Logan, who's the most complex villain. And it's difficult having essentially used both of those archetypes to just populate the White House with some white-haired dude.
Right.
And so Wayne Palmer was very much the RFK to David Palmer's JFK in this terrible situation. What better than to put an inexperienced, uncertain president?
What most historians consider to be a shameful mistake.
Well, I would ask those...
And Peter McNichol, who was a tremendous addition this year.
Phenomenal actor. But what you're dealing with here is really the great question, is how fast and how quick are we willing to suspend our civil liberties? In crisis or fear. And that's something certainly that we're dealing with regards to the Patriot Act, everything else. And so to actually be able to put it into the form of a show and get it out there in this context, I was incredibly proud of that. You know, and it's so many of the things that I'm proud of about the show have absolutely nothing to do with my character mm-hmm. or what I'm doing. From season one, the fact that we, on television, were the people that had the first African-American president, all the way down the line, there were things certainly separate from my character that mattered to me. And this, I thought, was one of the great discussions that 24 can actually bring to people to make them, when they finish watching the show, they can actually sit and have a conversation after going, well, I believe this mm-hmm. and I believe that.
And I think what anybody would take from it is that there is ultimately no good answer. It made people ask the questions and understand that there are...
Well, then you weren't in my house when we had the discussion because there's a good answer, but...
That's all there is to it.
Well, there's the better of bad answers, isn't it?
Well, I think what Palmer is wrestling with right now is that he knows the right answer, but he's been given so much information that is making it complicated. The right answer is you absolutely have to protect your civil liberties. That's what made this country. You have to adhere to the Constitution, which is what defends this country. And those principles and ideas are what you have to stand for.
Right.
Settling well into the whole middle management thing, aren't you?
What's your problem with me?
I like to find as an analyst, actually.
But protecting those civil liberties or protecting those rights isn't always as easily done. As it's easier said than done is my point. And yes, you do need checks, and yes, you do need balances, and you need due process. But you need to protect your people, too.
And the people that need to lead this country have to be prepared to weather the storm of the difficult choices.
Right.
And that's what's so complex about Logan, and that's ultimately what became complex about this president now.
Right.
David Palmer had that clear vision. He and Jack Bauer had a synthesis as characters.
Right, right. Well, what's interesting about Wayne, I mean, one of the charges leveled against him was actually, I think, a success, that his character was being tried and tested, and his character experiences a tremendous amount of growth under this trial by fire.
Because you asked, I will.
Here's Chloe's continuing maturation.
Nadia. I just got a weird request from Homeland Security. They want to set up a channel, and I wanted to clear it with you first.
I have to talk about the narrative strategy of this particular episode and the challenge, or one of the fears I had, and that was shared on, in no uncertain terms by the network. Oh, there's Stephen Merchant. See that? The guy who co-created The Office.
Oh, okay.
We will. We have a lead.
No, we don't. If we did, I would know about it.
We found a way to get Assad's location.
How?
Jack Bauer.
Jack's in a Chinese prison.
Not anymore.
It's challenging to tell a story where people know what's going on. Jack's namely, the characters. Nadia knows something that's going on, and Chloe's discovering it, but we, the audience, are watching, and they're catching up. What is Jack being brought back to do?
Right.
And so the mounting narrative is Jack is being brought back to obviously stop these terrorist attacks, but as we'll find out, not in the way we've come to expect.
Put it through the conference area.
Me personally, I want to go on record as actually saying I thought, and I've actually told you this, but I thought this was the best beginning of any season that we have ever done. There had been so much leading up to this moment and how we were going to bring him back. And I thought you guys did it absolutely beautiful. And unless you're actually working on the show, I don't think anybody could ever fully understand the complications of writing in this real-time format. But this was the most exciting stuff I got to do, literally, I feel, since I began as an actor, because it gave me so much room to move. And
I got to say, what a phenomenal job you did, Keith.
Bless your
heart. I mean, really, this moment is my favorite. Look at that. Have you seen this, Kiefer?
The honest truth is that I have not, and for superstitious reasons, I have not watched an episode of 24 in its entirety since we started.
Is that why you're closing your eyes right now?
No, my eyes are wide and open. But what you did as a writer, from the hand to just being physically looking like this.
But look at this moment also, this moment between the two of you, which is...
Sets up the whole year.
Everything.
Sets up the whole year. But you gave me so much room to move. Whether or not I took advantage of it, that's up for an audience to decide. But it certainly was given to me in a script form.
The fact that you hadn't spoken in 2 years was a mind-blowing idea also, which I loved. And you say so little. So the first time we hear you speak in a few seconds, it's the first time you've spoken in 2 years. Which I think is cool as hell.
It was funny, as I watched him walk in, I had done certain takes where he had a much more exaggerated limp and was more physically damaged.
You realize you were
and we had to make, well, we had to make, we did variations because he's going to become physically engaged quite soon, and it was a decision that you guys had to make about how damaged he was.
The last 11 weeks, our cities have been targeted by a series of terror attacks. Buses, trains, shopping malls.
But it's one of those rare moments for an actor where you actually get to say that the writing actually opened everything up for you, and you had all the opportunity in the world, whether or not, again, you took advantage of it, is up for an audience to decide.
Assad's men contacted us. He said he'd give up Assad for 25.
The trick, and Kiefer, you can appreciate this, we're hearing the story for the first time in its entirety from your point of view. Until now, we've only intimated the story. So here, from Jack Bauer's point of view, we're hearing everything. And it's a fairly complicated story. And I was concerned that it might be too much exposition. But I think it's so informed by what we're about to hear that it's so intensely compelling.
Flesh for what happened in Beirut. We offered him other alternatives. We did everything we could think of, Jack. But he would only agree to give us Assad in exchange for you.
He's demanded our surveillance protocols, which means we can't risk an extraction. Once he has you, you'll be on your own.
You understand what this means, Jack? We're asking you to sacrifice yourself so we can eliminate Assad. I can't hear you, Jack. Audrey doesn't know you're back.
My daughter.
Kim doesn't know either.
You keep it that way. I know what's being asked of me, Curtis. You don't need your firearm. Before we do this, I would like to clean up.
We've got an area set up for you and brought you some new clothes.
It's so hard watching this stuff because I was talking earlier about it being such a deeply open playing field, and now I'm watching it now, and there's always going to be other stuff I wish I had have done. And
oh, but I think it was so simple. And I mean, watching it again, I actually get very choked up watching this character. I mean, really, I feel a lump in my throat that I felt the first time I saw it. Power of this episode, which some people were concerned was too slow or too expository. The emotional drive of the show is so powerful. The sacrifice that Jack's been asked to make is so heartbreaking that it's really like it is the 12 stations of Christ. That I told them this is really what's the episode was about.
I know.
For an actor, when a writer gives you this amazing dramatic position to be in, which is, yes, I'm willing to die for this, that's the question and the answer that we've been looking for forever. What is anybody willing to die for?
Right.
That is the great drama of life. It's the one thing that we have in common together as people, is that we're all going to die. And we all try to answer that in our own way. You've given me this as an option, as an actor.
Nadia, I need to talk to you.
And it's limitless, its potential. And to settle on one idea or one thing is the most difficult thing in the world. And John Cassar was absolutely instrumental, because every day that I would come to work, I was all over the map. I could do this, I could do that, I could do this. And he was the one that really helped me focus on whatever choices that I made during the episode.
And let them know about the time that you left the Jarvis firewall unsecured. If it weren't for me, you would have been fired over that.
Marisol's been a fantastic addition as well. Not only in this episode, but throughout the entire season, what she's done in CTU has been because so as this episode really shows, so much of the information that drives the show comes from CTU, and it's at times a thankless job.
The expository pack mule,
and she's just really done an unbelievable job with it.
When she came in to read, it was, you know, we knew she could handle the words and with intelligence and clarity. She wasn't originally a Muslim, actually. When we cast her, she was Hispanic. And then we said, gee, she's kind of dark. Maybe she can play someone from Yemen. And it worked well in the context of the story.
He won't give us anything until he's free and clear with Jack.
How do we even know he'll do what he says?
We don't.
I'm calling Karen Hayes. She'll talk to the president.
Chloe, don't you get it? Karen already knows. So does President Palmer. He authorized it. Look. I'm sorry about your friend. But there's nothing you, I, or anyone can do right now. This is our only way out of this crisis. If we want these attacks to stop, Jack Bauer has to be sacrificed.
And the dynamic between Chloe's character and Jack's character over the last 4 years certainly was never something that I expected. And it's a real tribute to Marilyn, what she's managed to generate episode to episode, season to season, because she was the real binding force of that. She made that happen. And you guys, once you saw what she was doing, you would write for her and everything else. But outside of Audrey, she's his other anchor. And outside of that, there is nothing.
And she did start as kind of a sort of just idiosyncratic, kind of quirky character who actually has become a woman, and we've seen her become a woman.
The president got Jack back from the Chinese. He's in L.A. now.
Well, that's very good news.
No, Morris, it's not.
You're Cannon.
Bill, it's the president. Is Jack with you?
Yes, sir. We're almost at the drop point.
Let me speak to him, please.
Open him up. Jack. Jack.
Even that just when he was touched, that I remember I think this was the first day we started shooting. And you're always so scared. And that was a really important moment.
You're still scared? You're still scared?
Oh my God. Every day, but the first day is the worst. But when he jumped like that, that was a major signal about how deeply damaged he is.
Jack, I mean, they're actually starting to turn against each other out there.
Bill Buchanan, explain the situation, sir. I know what's happening. I understand what's expected of me.
This to me was also a legacy, a scene, because I think so much of the show's beginnings was about this relationship between you and David Palmer.
When I agreed to run for this office, I thought that I understood this job. I mean, I was right beside my brother David when he had to make impossible decisions, you know, times when he had to choose between bad options, but now that I'm the one sitting in that chair, I'm starting to wonder if I'm the right person to lead this country.
It's an irrelevant question, sir.
Excuse me.
You will lead this country, whether you want to or not. You are the president.
Well, this president can't shake the feeling that sacrificing Jack Bauer is a mistake. And that maybe I should just call this whole thing off before it's too late.
No, sir. You have not made a mistake. And for what it's worth, your brother would be doing just the same thing.
That doesn't make it right.
It isn't right. It isn't wrong. It's simply our only option. Bauer has to be sacrificed so this country can survive.
That was a perfect articulation of the fear of rational thinking.
Yes. Yeah.
And he did it really well.
I just heard a disturbing rumor.
What rumor is that?
That you're authorizing the National Guard to set up detention facilities at convention centers and sports arenas in Los Angeles, Detroit, and Philadelphia.
That's correct.
That's against the president's order. I was there when he gave it.
Karen, I know where you were. I was standing right next to you.
To my knowledge, that order hasn't been rescinded.
All right. You are confused. I haven't implemented anything yet. I'm merely positioning. If the president changes his mind, as I suspect he will, then we will have wasted less time.
I'm not confused, Tom. And you can use whatever word you like. In plain English, your second...
I'm a great fan of Jane Atkinson's as well. She's just... This relationship has been something that really became a real privilege to watch work, watching her work, and the way she approaches scenes is just really wonderful.
But it's been one of the trademarks of the show. The actors that you guys have managed to pull in, that the show has managed to pull in, literally from top to bottom, and yeah. I don't care how small a part, have been extraordinary. It's been one of the great excitements for me of the show, is the volume of great actors that I've had an opportunity to work with.
First, tell me where Assad is.
This isn't a negotiation. If you want Assad, leave Bauer here, get back in your car, and drive away. I'm watching you.
I think Adoni was one of the most convincing...
Villains?
Villains, if I hate to use that word, but...
Do it.
I don't want to step on what you're about to say, but I feel like setting it up here. But these were your words, and you took this moment that was a moment, and you gave words to what really became the cornerstone of the whole season, right here.
Do you understand the difference between dying for something and dying for nothing? The only reason I fought so hard to stay alive in China was because I didn't want to die for nothing. Today, I can die for something. My way, my choice. To be honest with you, it'll be a relief.
The irony is, you intimated all of this in the script. What an audience will never understand is, it was all in black italics, as in this is what he's feeling.
Right, right.
And then you and I had the discussion about it's such a significant moment for this character that maybe we should
articulate it. Yeah.
That whether I was too nervous as an actor to be able to convey it just in a look.
Well, the problem was that the next day after the show aired, everybody said, my favorite speech was the one at the great night to say, yeah, it was Kiefer, he wrote it.
Well, but you wrote it in italics. Ended up saying it.
No, don't worry, I didn't credit you with it. I'm just doing it now. I took full credit.
But it really had to be clear that he was fine with dying. Any anger or anything that motivated him after this had absolutely nothing to do
with his fear of death.
Of death, right. Absolutely.
They should be closing these schools down.
Once again, we're trying to dramatize in very relatable, everyman terms how this story might be rippling throughout the country if this were to come to pass.
Jillian, there is nothing normal what's happening here.
Well, what are we supposed to do? Just hide inside our house for the rest of our lives?
No, it's just... Hey.
Was Ahmed able to help?
I didn't get a chance to see him. The FBI are at his house. They're arresting his dad.
What?
As the story always unravels over the course of a season, it becomes very clear what we will focus on and what we won't. But I loved, this was one of my favorite things about the beginning of this episode, because again, I think it touches on how quickly we can potentially abandon our values in the state of fear.
Right.
And all it takes is buses in 12 cities blowing up and cafes blowing up and this, and all of a sudden we start arresting people and putting people in camps. And this is something that you guys were touching on that I think is a really serious thing that we need to look at. And it's, in fact, those ideals that are the things we need to defend more than anything, more than property, more than single lives, more than anything. That's, in all fairness, I've always believed that that's what Jack Bauer's character represented. Yet you guys actually touched on it in this show in a major way. And it's something that I'm really proud of to be a part of, because we show it here for how wrong it is and how dangerous that can be.
Well, you know, I guess I like the idea of people asking those themselves those questions through a fictional filter.
What are you doing, man? I'm trying to protect my family, right? This kid's father's a terrorist.
Oh, come on, he's no more of a terrorist than you or me.
Yeah? Why'd they arrest him?
Because they're scared. Like everyone else.
Oh, get out of my way.
Hey, Stan, come on. Stan. Look, you want him, you're coming through me.
This isn't over, Ray.
You all right?
Yeah.
All right, look, I think...
And then, obviously, from a dramatic perspective, the twist in this is really quite dynamic, too. And I've read 144 scripts to date. But the twist in that actually threw me. I actually sat up.
Really?
Yeah, I was kind of laying in bed reading it, and it made me sit up.
We can hit any target inside LA within 20 minutes.
Jack's giving his life for this operation, so I don't want any mistakes.
And I got to also talk about Bill Buchanan, James Morrison. What an amazing relationship he's developed to with Jack Bauer.
Yeah. Bill.
Yeah.
I'm sidelining Chloe on this operation.
Why?
She started asking questions about Jack. Look, I tried putting her off, but I...
What did you tell her?
The truth.
The weight he's carrying with the sacrifice that he's been asked to enact, I think was profound. His performance was great. I think he helps locate us.
Well, I also think that what's really interesting, as we're talking about this episode, while we're shooting the end of this season, how much what he's doing in this has informed
Echoed, right.
All the way through the season and all the way to the end. And I didn't really
get it
the
till
depth
now.
Of that until I was just watching him in that scene.
It's funny because that's an exercise I do as we get to the end. I said, where do we promise at the beginning of the season, right, and how can we bring that back?
Don't take me yet enough. Just stop sulking and find out where Bill Buchanan left Jack.
Found John's shooting in this particular episode was very astringent and very restrained.
I've been waiting for this for a long time.
Oh,
These are guys who have this obviously very powerful backstory, but we've just met them for the first time. So that you communicated, the both of you communicated that was fantastic. I mean, this helped show how formidable this new guy in town is.
The signal is being transmitted on a government frequency.
The satellite, what's it looking at?
I can't pinpoint it, but the camera's been repositioned to your sector.
Connect me to CTO.
Chloe, this is it. This is it.
As soon as the military has Assad's location, we'll work with local law enforcement to limit collateral damage. But as much as we're trying to prevent civilian losses, our priority is to take out Assad.
Fayed is on the line.
This is Nadia Yusir.
Redirect the satellite you have aimed at this sector.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Then explain the activity on frequency Alpha 0703. Bauer is dead either way. But if you don't redirect that satellite in 30 seconds, you will lose Assad.
I'm telling you, there's no satellite.
28 seconds.
Where is this coming from?
Inside the building.
Where?
Police station.
Morris, redirect that satellite. Redirect that satellite.
The situation is under control.
No, Fayed tagged your transmission. We may have lost our only chance of locating Assad. Fayed, this was a rogue operation. Redirecting the satellite now.
You have 10 seconds.
Morris, do it.
Nine.
Come
eight,
on, hurry up.
I'm going as fast as I can.
Six. Five. Four.
It's done.
It's moving away, Fayed. They redirected the satellite.
Other channels.
All clear.
Because of your deception, I will have to think about giving you Assad's location.
Wait, what about our deal? Fayed. When El Sharif. We may have spooked Fayed.
I heard what happened.
Damn it!
What were you thinking?
It's my fault. You can fire me.
I'd fire both of you right now, but I can't afford to lose the manpower.
Chloe. Look at me.
I'd rather not, sir.
Look at me. Don't think you're the only one mourning, Jack. You're not. That may have been our only option. You both better hope to God you didn't just blow it. You may have sacrificed Jack for nothing.
Again, a great callback to the theme.
Buchanan.
Bill, have you heard from Fayed?
Not yet, no.
The president's worried. Fayed should have contacted us by now.
There may be a problem. There's a possibility Fayed's going back on the deal.
What are you talking about?
He caught us throwing a track, Jack.
The orders were that he was to have a clear field.
I know what the orders were. Chloe thought there was a workaround. She did it without authorization.
Oh, damn it, Bill. She's your responsibility. How could you let this happen? If we don't take out Assad, then...
I don't need a lecture, Karen. I know what the stakes are.
I don't think you do. If these attacks don't stop, there are people in this administration who are willing to tear up the Constitution in the name of national security. The things that they're talking about doing, this country will never recover.
As soon as I hear from Fayed, you'll be my first call.
I'm sorry, Bill. It's just, I'm...
There's no need to apologize. We're all feeling it.
I have to go.
Anything?
It's clear.
Are you sure?
Yes. They're leaving us alone. The money's been transferred. Should we call CTU?
Not yet.
remember that chair.
Do you remember?
I won't let you die until I'm ready. The Chinese didn't leave much for me to work with. But before you die, you're going to feel what my brother felt. I saw his body. I know how he died.
We got to echo that line about his brother.
Episode 17.
17, yeah. I enjoyed that.
It looked like he did.
You don't need me to tell you that the nerves are bundled here.
What's it like playing that?
Well, I was just going to say, as much as these scenes are fantastic to read and you go, wow, they're going to, you know, it's a great opportunity. They're physically taxing and they're tiring. And what people maybe don't understand is that, you know, that scream I did 15 times.
Right.
From one angle, and I did 15 times again from another angle, and 15 times again from another angle. And
burns a lot of calories.
This scene took 2 days to shoot. And it's, I think one of the great things about having been able to do this for 20 years is that you start to figure out how to conserve your energy and apply it to where it needs to be applied. And so, jokingly, as I said at the beginning of this sequence, I remember that chair. I was in it for 2 days, and I knew it was going to be a grind.
So you took your time at the beginning?
Just generally, you're so excited about the scene that you let it kind of explode out of you, and then you figure out ways to get back to that for the next 2 days.
Stop.
I wish Fox would let us use more blood.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, when that knife comes out of his bag, it should have been coated.
My head doesn't call in 5 minutes, reassign everyone here.
It's funny being restrained from that. From an actor's perspective, it must be amazingly complicated from a writer's perspective.
I'm coming from a place where I'm amazed they let us do what we do.
Yeah. Well, you'll be invited to their dinner next year, and I won't.
You'll find Assad there.
Where is that?
It's coming. Inglewood.
Have General Bowen mobilize the attack helicopters. I'll let the president know where to go. Cut off Fayette's access to all our surveillance.
I want to lock down all of our satellites. Shut them down. You got it?
We did everything we could. I know it's truly awful, but if it stops these attacks, it's for the greater good. There's no one that understands that more than Jack.
I wasn't there when they shot this, but what a beautiful moment she just made.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
In a way, also, to think that the complexity of this day will be washed away by sacrificing Jack, how naive that is, and how, in the end, Jack has to now solve.
Do you remember doing this to my brother?
Fayed.
What is it?
There is a call for you. It's important.
Rabu. Yes.
There's a problem.
me what happened.
The FBI.
There's a twist that made me sit up in bed.
Where are you?
And it's one that we were scared of because obviously what can be construed from it is that
they just arrested the wrong guy.
Yeah.
But the truth is they arrested the wrong guy.
Right.
And that's enough.
That's a, Kiefer, you know, I hadn't thought about it, but that's a far more.
To make the argument that you can't do this wholesale rounding up.
Right.
And that's what I got from the script. And that's why I was, you know, amazingly proud.
Okay. I want to know what you thought of this, because when I wrote it, it was just sort of a placeholder.
This was, this was great. And that I liked a lot. Okay, they didn't show it, but we had shot it. I had half a slice of cantaloupe in my mouth, covered in blood, which I spat on the floor, which was supposed to be his Adam's apple. And John loved it and went, "We're never going to be able to show this." But it hit, it went tank, that the guy who I bit almost started laughing.
I was trying to find out where they took my dad.
Wanna come eat?
Yeah.
I just love this moment. Great.
Well, it was such a beautiful script. It was an honor to be able to be a part of it.
And here we are, just at the end.